Let's pray. Lord, speak to us that we may hear your word. Move among us that we may behold your glory. And open our hearts and minds as we learn of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're thinking in the services throughout the summer about scenes in Peter's life that changed him. And today we've got a taste of glory. It's a story of Peter and James and John going up the mountain with Jesus, and Jesus being filled with the glory of God. And as we listen and we look at it, we're struck that Peter is a person who engages mouth before brain, and who, when he's frightened, gets it all completely wrong. So we're comforted by Peter, often. We're comforted by dear, blundering Peter, who's an imperfect follower of Jesus. He falls as often as he gets it right, but Jesus loves him and uses him. And so this is a comfort to us. And of course it resonates with our lives, because we are exactly the same. We have good moments when God is good and we're full of the joy, and then we fall flat on our faces. We struggle on. But is this all that that story is about? Isn't there something more to it? And in order to understand it, we have to go back a bit. First of all, we have to think about who Peter was. Peter the son, the husband, the father, the fisherman, the leader, the strong person, the one who's always up for a challenge. Peter who met Jesus. Peter who listened to him. Peter whose boat was used by Jesus when he preached in a bay. Peter who went out when Jesus told him to go out and fish again. Peter who was sure that there was no fish, and yet there was a miraculous catch. Peter who fell at Jesus' feet and recognized his own sinfulness. And Peter who almost recklessly decided that he was going to give up everything and follow Jesus to become a fisher of men. And as Peter followed Jesus, he learnt to know him. He learnt from Jesus as he taught about the kingdom of heaven. He saw Jesus' power over creation, a storm stilled, somebody healed. He saw all sorts of amazing things happening as Jesus and his disciples walked around. He saw too Jesus' love for humankind as he met and talked to all sorts of different people. He saw his compassion and his understanding, and he saw people changed and healed, and lives going on in a different sort of way. And he himself saw his faith grow. He learnt about fear. He learnt about failure. He learnt to think a bit before he opened his mouth. He learnt that his ambition was greater than his courage. But he also learnt that when he did fall and he did get things wrong, although Jesus might rebuke him, he picked him up and set him off again. So one day, Jesus' ministry had gone on for nearly 3 years. The disciples were at Caesarea Philippi with Jesus, and they started talking. And Jesus asked them the question, "Who do people say that I am? Who do people say that I am? Am I John the Baptist? Am I Elijah? Am I a good man? Am I a prophet? Am I crazy? Who do people say that I am?" And the realization hit Peter that Jesus was something entirely special. That Jesus, the man who was his friend and his rabbi and his leader and his teacher and his mentor and his challenger, the one who reprimanded him. Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, the one who'd been promised, the Messiah who was to come, the one who was going to save his people. So Jesus was no longer just a role model or a teacher or even a prophet, but actually Peter realized that Jesus was God's Son. And that gobsmacking revelation was going to change absolutely everything. And just as you get a blot of ink that drops onto a piece of blotting paper and just spreads and spreads, just as you put a drop of paint into some water and you see the molecules moving and it becoming changed, not into white water or transparent water with a red dot in it, but water transfused with red paint. It took time for this declaration, this realization to sink in. And after that mind-blowing sort of moment, Jesus began to tell his disciples more about why he'd come to earth, that he would suffer, that he would be rejected, that he would die a cruel death. And of course, this seemed crazy to Peter. He rejected it. He said, "No, Jesus, this is a terrible mistake." And then he himself had a terrible rebuke by Jesus. But that is another story. But these disciples, as they travelled with him after that declaration at Caesarea Philippi, were confused. They might have been disillusioned. They might have been depressed. And 6 or so days later, Jesus took a little trio of his disciples up a high mountain to pray. Now, the high mountain is no understatement. Scawfell Pike, the highest mountain in England, is about less than 1,000 metres. Mount Hermon, which is a mountain near Caesarea Philippi, is over 3,000 metres. So they might well have had a really good climb. And when they stopped, Jesus went on to pray. The disciples went to sleep. We'll come back to that in a minute. But you see, for us, we, a bit like Peter and those disciples, sometimes need, when we've realised who the presence of Jesus is and what he means to us, how he loves and blesses us, we sometimes plummet from the high to the low. And we question, is Jesus really truth? Is our faith real? What are we doing with our lives? What do I actually believe? What about all these questions I have? And so, at this moment, Jesus knew that the disciples had things to learn, that they actually had to stop, they had to look, and they had to listen. Something that we learned as a child, crossing roads, but actually we in our lives need to spend time stopping and looking and listening. All of the three Gospels, all of the three synoptic Gospels, describe what happened next. On this high mountain, as Jesus went to pray, the disciples went to sleep. I used to have a lady in one of my churches who used to sit next to me. If I wasn't preaching, I would sit in my seat, which was next to the choir. And Rosemary, who's actually died, but she wouldn't mind if I told you this, Rosemary used to sit next to me. And the person preaching used to preach, and Rosemary used to close her eyes. Now then, I knew, and Rosemary knew, that Rosemary was having a little sleep. But at the end of the sermon, she'd look at me and she'd say, "I wasn't sleeping, Pam, I was praying." And we used to look at each other and smile. And so as Jesus went away and prayed, the disciples went to sleep. But when they awoke, wow, in front of them was Jesus, Jesus who was dazzling. Jesus who, it says in the Bible's clothes were whiter than the whitest bleach, whiter than Daz, whiter than Vanish, whiter than any old soap powder you could possibly think about when you're trying to get white things clean again. Jesus was dazzling. And as they looked at him, they saw that he was speaking to two other people. Two other people who were significant in the history of Israel, Moses and Elijah. And as they talked together, Jesus talked with them about his future. And they were endorsing what he'd been saying. Moses and Elijah affirmed him. Moses was the rescuer of Israel. Moses was the one who'd seen God's glory on Sinai, who'd given the law to Israel. And Elijah was the greatest prophet who'd brought God's word to God's people. But for each of those, their work was unfinished. Moses had to hand on to Joshua. Elijah handed on to Elisha. But now these two, the greatest of the people in the history of Israel, were pointing at Jesus. Jesus, the one who would be the rescuer and the deliverer of his people. Jesus, the Saviour. Jesus, who was not just words, as the prophets had been, but the Word, the presence of God among his people. And wow, it was too much for them to take in. And so, of course, it was Peter who opened his mouth. But the Bible says Peter was terrified. And then he came up with this suggestion. He didn't know what to say. He was confused. He came up with a crazy suggestion. Well, let's build three tents here so we can all stay up the mountain and enjoy being here, one for each of you. And interestingly, usually when Peter said something daft, Jesus would say, "Peter, that's rubbish. Stop it." But here, Jesus didn't say anything. And then the cloud of God's presence came down on them, and Peter heard a voice. And it was the same voice that had been there at Jesus' baptism. And it said, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." So Peter had stopped. He had looked and he'd seen Jesus transformed. And now God was saying, what you need to do now is listen to him. Stop, look, and gaze on God. Perhaps that's something we need to do more in our daily grind or when we're struggling with something. How often do we stop, or how often do we get on and do more? I remember seeing a program on the television about Nadia. And apparently when she got really wound up about things, she wouldn't sit down and rest and relax with her children and her husband. She used to get baking even more. Sometimes we just need to stop. And that was the lesson Peter had to learn. Stop and look and listen. Peter was to listen a lot more to Jesus. Even as they walked down the mountain, Jesus was telling them more about his death. Peter had to listen to things that he didn't want to hear. Peter still opened his mouth and argued and challenged Jesus. Peter was still rebuked by Jesus. Jesus still said to him, "Peter, you're a man of little faith." But Peter had seen who Jesus was. And now he had to listen and learn and accept what sort of Messiah Jesus was. What sort of Messiah Jesus had to be. That was going to involve persecution. That was going to involve hatred of people. That was going to involve suffering and death. And Peter had to learn that to be a disciple of Jesus, he had to take up his cross and follow him, through thick and thin. So James and John and Peter and Jesus came down from the mountain the next day, it says, which shows us how high it was. Who did they meet? A child who was seriously ill. A child whom the disciples hadn't been able to help because of their lack of faith. But Peter's transformation had started on the mountain as he gazed on Jesus, God's Son. And beyond this stop and look and listen scene, we see that Peter did go on boldly. His faith grew. He spoke and he preached and he taught Jesus. And he followed him even to his death. Peter himself was crucified upside down because he didn't want to be crucified in the same way as his Lord had been. And what about us? We need to stop and look and listen. We just need to stop in our busy lives. We just need to find time to gaze on God, to gaze on Jesus, to let him come to us. And we need to listen to his word. We need to learn more of him through reading the Bible, to think more about his teaching, which is often hard and confusing. Often our wills struggle with taking it on board. And we need to learn and engage with him and open our eyes and open our minds to the challenges Jesus brings to us. But the most important thing, I think, is this stopping and gazing. Gazing on the glory of Jesus, the one whom we love and worship, God's Son. And as we gaze on him, we too will see him suffused in the glory of God. This is the mystery of our faith, that God became human so that we might become like him. And we can anticipate that one day we too will be transformed into his image and his glory and be united with God. So let's keep on traveling. Let's keep on finding time to stop, to go further up the mountain and to let our faces shine as we meet with Jesus. And then we go on back down into the valley to God's people to live in his power and his love and bring his sort of transformation into the world. Amen. Let's pray. Father, as Peter saw you, Jesus, transformed on that mountain, may we have time to stop and gaze on you, to see you in all your glory, to know you better and to love you more. Amen.